Lay of the Land is an independent production and has a time brokerage agreement with Devil Radio. Opinions expressed may not reflect those of this station, our staff, or our sponsors. Enjoy.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for him.
Tim's Lay of the Land, a show about life and politics in rural Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us. Again, we're having some great weather in Wisconsin. Everybody's got a chance to enjoy the great outdoors for the last couple of weeks. A lot of great things happening out there. I'm sure all of you are seeing all of the fresh produce stands popping up all over. Some of that fantastic Wisconsin super sweet corn. The fresh tomatoes are coming on. All kinds of really great produce. I hope you all stop by and enjoy some of that great Wisconsin produce. Tonight, our program is sponsored by Wisconsin Grassroots Network. If you'd like to help keep the show on the air, go to WIGrassrootsNetwork.org. Go to the donate button and make a contribution. Like many listener radio programs, we depend on listener support. Also, we'll be going to the phones a little later. And those of you who'd like to call in for the question, the number is 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Last week, if you were listening, we had a trivia question, and we asked what national tractor manufacturer still operates in Wisconsin, and we have a winner. Annette Condon from Sun Prairie called in, and she said Case International, and she's absolutely right. A few years ago, I had the privilege of touring that plant. They have a new constructed plant now on the outskirts of Racine. And if you ever have an opportunity to go to one of these manufacturing plants, it's a great experience. You really can learn a tremendous amount. I toured a John Deere plant in the Quad Cities probably 5 years or so ago, and it's an incredible experience. So if you ever get that opportunity, avail yourself of that. You learn a lot in about modern manufacturing. So tonight's show, we're going to focus a bit on the economic aspects of Wisconsin agriculture. I'm privileged to have as my guest this evening John Peck, Executive Director of Family Farm Defenders. John is by profession an economist. He has taught for a number of years at Madison College. Welcome to the show, John.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, Nate.
So I'm sure there are people who, in a very simple way, might want to know what's up with defending farms. Seems like they've been an iconic part of Wisconsin history for forever. Why do they need defending? So can you give us a little shout-out about that?
Yeah, well, if people have been driving around the state lately, you might have noticed more and more farms are going bankrupt. There's lots of boarded-up businesses in the small towns. And that's a sign that our rural economies are struggling. And, I would argue that we need more farms, not less. But unfortunately, the number of farms in the state is dwindling. We actually have more prisoners in Wisconsin now than dairy farmers, which is really sad to think. When I first came here to go to the ag school at UW back in the early 90s, we had many, many more farms here. And now we're lucky to find even one or two operating farms in some townships that are left. So, and that's not a natural or inevitable thing. I mean, that's due to, we would argue, you know, policies that have basically made it really difficult to make it as a farmer, you know, whether it's not being able to get fair prices, whether it's, you know, not enforcing, you know, antitrust laws against corporate consolidation in the ag sector, all sorts of restrictions on what types of seeds you can grow, and dumping of products from other countries into our markets without consumer awareness of that or any limits. There's lots of problems, you know, land grabbing by foreign entities even, or large scale, you know, pension funds that don't even care about farming, buying up land, making it difficult for farmers to access land. So, yeah, there's lots of challenges farmers face, and so that's why we think they need to be defended and supported and valued. I mean, when I was going to school in the rural consolidated school district, I mean, people sort of laughed at me that I was a farm kid. People made fun of that. People didn't. I think we really need to respect people who grow food and make that a worthwhile profession again. But that requires some effort. It doesn't just happen.
Yeah, thanks, John. Egg policy has certainly been one of the elements of the formula of defending farms. I just wonder what you think about, there's always kind of been this contrasting view about the kind of policies that the Canadians have regarding the ag sector versus policies that the U.S. has had. And I know part of that has played out in terms of the way they have allocated the price of commodities and the amount of access to the market for, like, dairy farmers. What do you think about that? Of course, that seems to have been a very difficult position for Wisconsin agriculture, or really American agriculture, to absorb. What's your take on that?
Well, first of all, we would argue that food is not only a human right, but it's also, we support the concept of food sovereignty. So we would argue that every country has a right to control their own food policies. That should not be dictated by, say, a World Trade Organization or some outside force. So in the case of Canada, they have a very conscious policy, which they've, you know, upheld for decades now, of trying to, is something called supply management, which the U.S. used to have, but we've since watched it whittle away and disappear. But the idea of, like, farmers deserve a fair price, just like workers deserve a living wage. So in agriculture, we call that parity. So if you don't get parity, if you can't get a fair price for your products, you're going to go under. I mean, self-exploitation only goes so far, especially, I mean, farmers are really good at exploiting themselves and their families, but that's not going to lead to a long-term survival strategy for any family farm economy. So in order to get a fair price, though, then you need to look at the marketplace and what type of markets do we have? Well, unfortunately, the markets, we do not, just to be honest with listeners out there, we do not have a free market in food right now. The freest market in food right now is when you go to the farmer's market and you can actually walk around, meet the farmers, you can actually haggle and negotiate prices. That's a free market. That's not the situation most farmers are in. Most farmers are selling commodities to large-scale corporations, 1, 2, 3, 4 buyers. In economics, we'd call that an oligopoly situation. And they dictate, you know, the prices. So if we want to, and then we have the foreign trade element too. So if we have, say, milk, just to give example of milk, which is close to my heart, being in Wisconsin, I love cheese, but you know, we actually have tanker loads of milk coming into Wisconsin every day from all over the United States. I see them on the interstate all the time, coming in from Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Pennsylvania. So we have Wisconsin farmers going bankrupt because there's not a market for their milk here. But we have cheesemakers in Wisconsin, for instance, bringing in cheese from other parts of the, you know, milk from other parts of the country to make, quote, Wisconsin cheese. So there's an example, like, we don't even have supply management within our own state, and the country certainly doesn't have that policy. So That's why, I mean, when Canada says we support our farmers by limiting imports, giving farmers a fair price, we would say, gosh, why can't we have that here? Why can't we have supply management in the U.S. and fair prices for farmers too? So that's definitely a position our organization and many others support that as well. You know, Farmers Union and other groups support supply management for the U.S., not just for milk, but all commodities, and fair prices for farmers.
So that was an option that was available to us, but we've made different kinds of national policy decisions with regard to national agriculture that doesn't control the supply. Is that correct, John?
Right. Well, I mean, we had a lot of this back in the 1930s coming out of the New Deal. So, I mean, when we had a massive milk strike back in 1933 in Wisconsin, which is now historical, it's amazing history to read about. But, I mean, that was because of low prices for milk, people going bankrupt. And, you know, out of that came an idea of we're going to actually try to have supply management and give farmers a fair price. But we don't have that anymore. We decided to have freedom to fail instead.
Yep, and they are. Well, we'll be going away for a break here, and please stay tuned. We'll be right back with John Peck, my guest tonight, on the lay of the land. Thank you.